All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you tonight on a Monday night as we take your phone calls, as always, 333-2665. We're beginning the week of Stults.
That's right. Terry, this is your halftime entertainment right now,
too. Terry in for Glass tonight will be in for me on Wednesday night. We are at halftime of the Hoosiers opener at the Maui Invitational in, of course, Maui, which is not Bloomington, and 35 degrees. Much nicer over there, but so far it is Wake Forest who is on fire, shooting 58% in the first half and leads the Hoosiers 50-45 going into the halftime. And yes, 50 Wake Forest points means the Hoosier defense that we all know and love from the last couple of years might just very well be back. And Terry, we said it, you know, you can look at this a couple different ways. You got 0 points for James Blackman Jr. at half. You got three for Troy, for Thomas Bryant. Just not a great game from them. You're kind of holding on the offensive side. You are hitting some shots, but you're giving up 58%. It's been a career night for one particular big man for Wake. So do you look at this as there's the defense again, or is this a they did everything they needed to do in the first half, Wake did, to stay in this game, and it'll all be over in the second?
I hate to be a fence sitter, but it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, seriously, they've had some guys that I know we weren't, you really don't know how they're going to play. And Mitoglou, like I said, he's having the game of his life in the first half. I don't know if that'll continue. If it does, we will not win this game.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't get onto him. But yeah, they're making some shots. They're doing some things a couple different times. We had five, even a 6-point lead, but couldn't make the stop to come down and maybe push that lead to 7 or 8. You know, so it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I've seen a tremendous amount of our scouting report, and I think it bears out from the stats you and I were talking about before, must have said that Wake's not a very good three-point shooting team because we sure as heck just sat there and let them and packed the lane. Mm-hmm. Then they hit a few, and now they can drive. They've had a lot of points in the paint so far.
Yeah, they lead 28-6. And the bigger problem there is that they have, you know, they've hit a couple three-pointers, 5 and 9 so far. But the bigger problem is they're getting into the lane and they're pretty much dominating in the lane. Hoosiers have gotten some shots in there, no question. But Wake leading 23-11 on the boards right now. And this is an Indiana team that's stressed rebounds in the last year or two. So, you know, it's been a better team than that tonight. But, you know, when they've gone up against two big teams with big inside presence, Austin Peay had a guy inside that was awfully good. They, you know, Thomas Bryant in particular, but others have kind of shirked back a little bit.
Yeah, they're definitely, I think they were probably taken aback a little bit by the efforts of a few Wake players. They better wake up and see. I mean, our bench has outscored them 20-2, which I like that. But then you get a 0 from James Blackman, only 3 for Bryant right now, and he's 3-for-4 from the free throw line. You know, it's kind of expected. We'll see. Hopefully Coach Green and the rest of the coaches will make some adjustments at halftime, and our defensive effort must get better, or we'll start off the Maui Classic with a disappointing loss.
If there's a good news right now for the Hoosiers, only 6 team fouls, 2 of which are Colin Hartman. So,
yeah.
You know, you want to say they're not defending, and it's true. At the least, they're not getting themselves in foul trouble in the meantime and being late and reaching. Wake is hitting in the lane. Give them credit for that. They're certainly rebounding very well. They have 11 offensive rebounds to 4 for the Hoosiers. But the Hoosiers right now just no inside game, and that's been the problem. And Troy Williams and others, in particular Yogi Ferrell, they have tried to get to the basket. So this isn't an issue where the Hoosiers have not taken it into the lane and relied too much on the outside shot. It's just simply, you know, strength at the boards in particular and next to nothing out of Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, and I'd tell you what I'd like to see just from watching the first half is to see Max Bielefeld be put on the block a little bit and get him out off the three-point line, because he's probably physically stronger than anybody that Wake's going to put on him. And I don't think they'll put Mitoglou or whatever his name is on him. So we'll see. I mean, Coach Green will come up with a few things. And like I said, I think Wake played very, very well. Probably took us by surprise a little bit. A couple of their players hit a couple of shots that they have not hit so far in this season. And they've got some guys playing for them because they've got an injury to probably their best player and also a suspension, where they have some new guys in the lineup, and they're playing real well.
333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you. We're with you tonight until 7:45, where Monday Night Football takes over. Bills at Patriots, the Hoosiers basketball team, at halftime right now, down 50-45 out in Maui against Wake Forest. And let's look back to last Thursday when the Creighton came to town and the Gavitt games tip off in the Indiana version of that. 86-65, the Hoosiers won that game. And, I mean, you can attribute much of this lead. And it was a very good game start to finish out of the Hoosiers. Better first half than second half, but the first half was excellent. But there's about a 5 or 6 minute period there in the first 10 minutes of the game where the Hoosiers just put the foot down, kept the foot down, and never stopped. And not only decent and good defensively, but just moving the ball lights out on the offensive end. Let's talk a little bit about that. That offensively, I've seen a lot of the same things tonight, so it's not like the Hoosiers' offense is bad right now. But if they don't get it from key players like a Bryant inside and get some presence there, and certainly James Blackman was great the other night, it's going to be a bit of a struggle, and especially so on the defensive end.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, Creighton is a middle of the road to 7-8 maybe pick preseason in the Big East. You know, they're obviously not the Doug McDermott Creighton team of a couple years ago, but they do have some good athletes, a couple good basketball players. I really was surprised that we got out. Well, I mean, the intensity was there. It's like they knew they were finally playing an opponent that was better than their exhibition games in the first two regular season games. They played well. They came out with a purpose. Creighton, you know, stayed with them for a little while, and then at one point in the second half, early in the second half, before things really settled down, and we only outscored them by 2 in the second half because of some late flurries, we had a 27-point lead. And, you know, looked like it could have been 30, easy. And good effort. I liked it. I mean, all the way around, defense, blocking out, rebounding, obviously, you know, hitting the threes, not quite like the game before that, but moved it around, a lot of players in double figures. Good assist ratio to baskets. Just at that point, best game of the year so far.
And probably, well, certainly the first time this year, and we're seeing it more tonight, starting to settle into an eight-man rotation. Juwan Morgan and OG Anunoby starting to back off on those minutes a little bit. You know, it's a little early to say they're hitting a freshman wall, but, I mean, you can tell a significant difference between those top eight and the next guys that get in the game. So it really looks like these eight are kind of settling in. We'll see about OG and Juwan, whether they're able to make more of an impression going forward. But I mean, the other night was just one of those games where it seemed like everything was working. They hit the ball, hit the boards hard, won that by 11. They distributed the ball really well, 18 assists. They did have 18 turnovers, but I think it was only 6 at halftime.
Yes.
So, I mean, that first half was about as well as they could play.
Yeah, that first half, 5 or 6 turnovers, and you're thinking, you know, that this is what we're trying to do here. I mean, make sure you can handle the ball. They moved the ball successfully. A lot of people touched it and got good shots. And the biggest thing is working the ball in and around and actually getting Thomas Bryant some looks inside. So hopefully they can figure something like that out for the second half in the Wake Forest game.
And the second half has started. We got to take a quick break. We'll talk about what's going on out in Maui when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone.
Live from downtown Bloomington, it's In the Zone with Dave and Glass.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. We're a couple minutes in here to the second half, almost to the first timeout, and it is 52-50 Wake Forest as Troy Williams is trying to outscore Wake all by himself at this point. And not simply by being selfish, but because he's the only guy who can make a basket right now. He's got 5 to start off the second half, and the ball's in his hand right now. Again, James Blackman right now, quite invisible. He's had 3 shots here in the second half and hasn't really gotten all that close to any of them. One of them was a layup in traffic, but 2 3-pointers off the front of the rim. He had a couple last year, Terry, where we know he's not much of a defender. So has he improved on his defense this year? I don't think so. And he had a couple games offensively, and this is what he can't do. He absolutely cannot do a disappearing act on the offensive end. He's 0 for 6 right now. That just kills his team, partly because he is so good, and we need him to score points. If he's not going to defend, we're kind of, I wouldn't say we accept it, but we're ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a small sample size on his defense, but you're right. He's not looked any better, if not possibly more lost. I thought he played better defense in the Haunted Hoop scrimmage than he's done in any of the games this year so far. So, I mean, it's, yeah, we've got to have him. He can't have these lapses where he doesn't score anything. I mean, you're going to miss some shots. But you know what? If you're going to miss some shots, then you've got to make some nice passes. You've got to drive to the basket and get to the free throw line. I mean, he's an 85% free throw shooter. So, you know, he's got to do other things if the jumper's not falling. And part of that is also playing some defense, get in the passing lanes, get some deflections, make it hard for his guy to score and even get the ball.
Well, and he's late getting over and under screens and stuff like that. I mean, there's a vast amount of improvement necessary from him. And what bugs you about that is, talent-wise, you know that he's got much or more talent than anybody out there. And, you know, when it comes down to some of the fundamental stuff, that's what drives you a little nuts, is that you're seeing that not be up to snuff. Some good shooting tonight as Robert Johnson hits a three. Nick Zeisloft is 3-for-5 behind the line tonight. So it's 2-for-3 now for Johnson and 10 points.
Yeah, like our bench has been fabulous so far. And hopefully that and I don't really think Wake is any of the, they've not shown much for the bench. So, you know, where at this point, OG Anunoby has played. I mean, he got 2 or 3 minutes in there. So, I mean, we're essentially still at that 8-man rotation you spoke about. Perhaps that's going to be enough to eke this game out. But number one thing right now, you just came from a 5-point deficit to take a lead. You need another defensive stop or two, and let's push that 2-point lead up to 6-7. And start to get this game into control, which so, I think they will.
We've hit the under 16 timeout, 54-52. The Hoosiers have taken the lead in after a 2-point basket to start the half for Wake. It has been a 9-0 Hoosier run. So offensively, certainly better. Look, the couple shots that Blackman took, he took 3 shots here in the second half. They're all shots that I have no problem with him taking.
Right.
I mean, James Blackman and a decently open 3-pointer. You know, I'd rather there be some offensive movement first like there was on his second 3-pointer. His first one, no, he's just kind of a step back thing. But you got to trust him to take some shots. So I'm not sure it's shot selection is the problem. But again, 0-for-6, at some point, you got to see him get going in this game. I'll give Troy Williams a ton of credit because he came out on fire in the second half here. He's got 7 of their points, I believe, here in the second half, and, or at least 5 of their points here in the second half, and hit the boards on a couple of them. Look, do you read much into this? I certainly don't want to chalk this up as a win just yet. It's a 2-point game in the early second half, but do you read too much of this going into tomorrow night? Because Vanderbilt absolutely laid the wood to St. John's earlier today. And again, this is a team that I've heard people say is second only to Kentucky in the SEC this year.
Well, they're a good team. The three of us in this room, and Glass and Smitty, could probably beat St. John's. And I don't know what game Rob's got hoop-wise.
Who's in the
He's
lane?
A fine engineer.
Glass, no one
right?
wants me on their team to play basketball ever, and I'll tell you why. You pass me the ball, I'm shooting it.
You're a black hole.
I don't care. Wow. I don't care where I'm at on the court. I'm shooting it if you throw me the ball.
Well, that's my job. So
the biggest hockey fan in
we'll
the room
have
is,
to
is,
find
is a
another.
Black hole on the basketball court.
Okay. No, that St. John's is a poor squad. But, yeah, no, Vanderbilt's good. You know, yes. If we should get so lucky and take control and win this game tonight, which I still believe we will, whether we'll cover that 12.5-point spread, I don't know. But I really don't care about that.
Yeah.
But I think Vanderbilt will have our full attention tomorrow night because they're also a ranked team a couple spots behind us. They've got some guys back that played last year on a losing team, I believe, a losing record for Kevin Stallings, which he doesn't have, has not had many at Vanderbilt. So if we'll take control of this, and you can bet that when they go to watching film this evening or tomorrow morning before they would play the next game, I'm sure what they'll see on tape will have their attention fully on Vanderbilt.
You don't think they're going to the beach after the game tonight?
Well, I mean, I don't really care if they do or not as long as they get a look at that. Actually,
a long look.
I'm more interested in just winning this game right now. And if they win this game, I'll give them a couple hours of beach time, dinner, and then film room action. That's what I'm saying.
333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk about some exciting football games here in a little while as the Hoosiers did get their 5th win of the year at Maryland, and the Colts came from behind to win on the road in a very big win for them at Atlanta, because now they're keeping pace with the Houston Texans of all teams in the AFC South. But the Hoosiers back at it, 54-52 here, just after the under 16 timeout. And ball movement may be slowing down here a bit in the second half, but going a little bit more to some one-on-one matchups, trying to get inside. And they did early. They tried to get inside. Again, last year, I think you saw this team way too often start to go one-on-one from 30 feet and thinking that was their offense. I don't know if it's a shot clock, but so far this team has been much better about moving the ball, moving themselves from the get-go of bringing that ball across, and you don't see anywhere near the amount of possessions on offense where they're standing around waiting for something to happen. They're spending a lot more time really moving the ball and moving the men.
No, I mean, I like it. They're moving the ball around almost San Antonio Spur-like in certain segments, but you know, right there, Thomas Bryant misses a point blank dunk. Ended up, you know, we finally, after a couple tips and a shot, we you know, didn't get anything for that, and play a little defense there and knock a ball away. Oh, went off a Wake Forest guy, IU ball. Now
there you go.
See, I mean, just move your feet, move your hands, talk, and play some defense. And you've got a great big guy down there in the bottom that you just tell him, don't go anywhere. And put somebody else on Mitoglou and do not let him go off to start this second half. And so far, so good.
333-2665 is our phone number. Thomas Bryant, offensively and energy-wise, I don't think you can have a lot of complaints about Thomas Bryant. Very energetic kid. Honestly, more energetic than some of the guys we got coming back. Just from a strict enthusiasm standpoint out there. Offensively, well-rounded, shoots the ball well, good stroke, good inside game. But on the defensive end, again, this is we heard this a couple years ago with Cody Zeller. We heard we're going to get a big man. He's going to have a presence inside. And then so far, Thomas Bryant's been excellent rebounding the ball, so I want to give him credit for that, certainly. But on the defensive side, I don't know that I've seen a lot of impact. Am I looking too much for a direct impact, blocks, steals, that sort of thing? Or should there be something that's not statistical that I'm seeing that has an effect of having that big man back in the middle?
Well, one thing, I mean, the Creighton game, I felt like he did actually get engaged. You saw him emotionally a couple of times go get really excited. Any block four shots in that game. He seemed like he was there a couple of times when we forced a driver into the lane. He was actually there. He didn't do that in the exhibition or the first two regular season games. He did do that a little more against Creighton.
Off a shot fake in the
exactly
lane right there.
Right.
I mean, he does bite on those awfully quickly.
This isn't high school where he can bite on the fake and has plenty of time to jump back up and get these guys, because by the time that happens, they've already laid it in. Like that guy just did right there. He does have a little bit of squirrel. You know, you make a look or a ball fake at him and he's in the air. So, you know, he's gonna get that. As you and I talked the other night after on Wednesday night after your show, I think what I'd love to see from him this year is he reminds me so much of Alan Henderson when he was a freshman, the way he moves around. I think Henderson might have been a little bit better shooter, but he averaged like 11.5 and almost 8 rebounds a game as a freshman. If we get anywhere near that with this young man, we've got something, because his energy's there, his enthusiasm's there. He really will play hard. There's Max Biafil hitting a three, and I'm trying to get him off the three-point line, but I'm glad he hit that one.
Keep him there for now.
59-56 Hoosiers. Anyway, no, I don't. I know what you mean. I you're absolutely right. But we need to, only after three games, just give him some more time. And the thing is, he's got to continue to be aggressive under there, like he did in the Creighton game. In tonight, the next two games, no matter whoever we play from now, he's got to do this from now on, because we've got some tough games before the Big Ten, and he's going to have to be. Get in the mindset of I've got to do these things all the time, not just part of the time.
Well,
and hopefully we'll see. I mean,
and again, I could be wrong here. I'm looking for, I guess, more of the physical presence, more of the shot blocking, and he's trying. I mean, there's no question there's some effort into that, but he does bite on the fakes a little bit too quickly. And I don't know. I can't compare him to Patrick Ewing defensively at this stage of his career. But so far, it seems like that has not shown up entirely yet. He does have some steals on the year, so I'll give him some credit there. And he's been awfully, awfully fun to watch on both ends of the floor. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Didn't take me long to do it. It's not Glass. It's Dave and Terry tonight.
It's all right.
I always do that. It's just it's memorization.
You know, after about 10 or 11 years, what are you going to do?
But it's the week of Stultz, as he will be with us tonight and with Glass on Wednesday night. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers tied at the second TV timeout. 11:44 left to go. It's 59 all. They have come out, looked a little better on the defensive end on the early in the second half here. I wouldn't call it fantastic, but
no.
Better, certainly. And Robert Johnson picking up the slack so far for James Blackman Jr. James has not scored, has one rebound, no personal fouls, no assists. So he is simply being sat at this point in time. And Johnson, in the meantime, has three assists and 12 points. So being much more productive. Again, 333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in our caller. Are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. It's Kevin from Bloomington.
Hi, Kevin.
What's up? Hey, now, this is okay because this guy's going to tell you exactly how it is. I trust him to tell you how it
keep
is.
Keep it clean, Kevin.
All I wanted to say was I'm in on the St. John's action. As long as I get to set some screens for Terry Stubbs.
We'll take you. You're hired.
I'm there. I played basketball with him up at the point guard, and it was something to watch him shoot the ball.
Well, he tells me he didn't let anybody else shoot the ball, so you might have to only set screens.
I'm okay with that. Every once in a while, he'll get the pick and roll going, but he used to let it fly.
You know how many times I threw the ball to you.
No, absolutely.
All right. That's
I'd
okay.
I'd be lying if I didn't. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. We appreciate it. Hoosiers on the board again here after the timeout, 61-59. Again, moving the ball well. And this is something that look, everybody wants to harp on the defense, and understandably so. Okay, we'll talk about that all year long because you have to. But on the offensive side, an improvement that I've seen so far is very few, if any, of the possessions that we saw the last 2 years, really, where things just kind of devolved and everybody stood around. These guys are moving the ball constantly, and it's real hard for me to say that shaving 5 seconds off the shot clock has made there be more of an urgency to move themselves and to move the ball. But there certainly is more of an urgency out there for whatever the reason is. I have absolutely no idea. But it's really fun to watch the way they move the ball and get the ball around. There are some quick shots. There's no question about that. But they do move it, and they are generally unselfish with the ball so far.
Yeah, well, you've got some guys that have been in the system for a while, and even just last year with some nice talent with Johnson and, of course, James Blackman. I think it's just part of getting to know each other and playing together a little more. And then, of course, you can say, well, Bielefeld wasn't here. Thomas Bryant wasn't here. That's true. But, Hartman, Zeisloft, all the guys I just mentioned with Yogi orchestrating everything. And I think you just – the extra 5 seconds may or may not have anything to do with it, but – we're still getting our shots off in plenty of time. And Dave's right, it's a good point, where we're not seeing that this year where all of a sudden it's, oh, my gosh, where's Yogi? He's got to get a shot off. We got 5 seconds or less on the shot clock. It's not happened. And that is good, just good offensive knowledge and movement of the ball. Not only are guys finding people open, guys are getting open. They're moving without the ball. So, I mean, that's all part of being used to playing this sort of offense because this is a second year in a row where we've really tried to bring that up-tempo, get a shot off quick, move the ball, kick it back out for a three-pointer. So that's part of it, just being more familiar with everything they're doing.
And Thomas Bryant heard me talking about him and has a block or two here in the last couple minutes of the game and is now up to 8 rebounds. But it is a tie ball game, 61 all. You know, I would say that the depth and the tempo is something that Indiana is going to bring this year and should have an effect here on Wake eventually. It has not shown up yet. And quite honestly, if you're only going to go eight deep, you know, their tempo hasn't been outrageous in this game to begin with. I'm not sure the tempo is going to play a part in this game. A long way to go, but we haven't seen it yet.
Well, this at the score, being at 50-45 at the half, it's jumped to a crawl pretty fast, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And part of that's Wake's doing. They're not going to get in a hurry up anymore. They don't have the bodies we do. They really, I'll be honest, they don't have the shooters we do. I mean, they've had some people, Wilbekin for one, who was about 2 for 11 for threes coming in on the year, and he's three for four tonight. So, you know, I just don't look for
the
it to keep
guy
up.
Hasn't scored yet in the second half.
Exactly. Like I said, he pretty much shot his wad in the first half, and that's the way it was going to be. But hey, he helped him to a five-point lead.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at two or three different times, when we had the ball and all we needed was a defensive stop to maybe send it 7-8, he hit a three.
Yeah.
And cut that six-point lead back down to three. So, hey, hats off to him. He was the one that made sure they had the advantage in the second half to start with.
333-2665 is a phone number. Again, Dave and Terry with you until 7:45 tonight when the Bills at the Patriots takes over. We have the national broadcast with the pregame taking over. If the Hoosiers win this game, they play 7:30 tomorrow night against Vanderbilt, who was an easy winner over St. John's today. If they lose, they would play St. John's, I believe, at 2 o'clock local time here in the consolation round. And, of course, we all want to continue on. The Vanderbilt game would be a tremendous test in itself. And everybody's gotten way too far ahead of them and is looking forward to Indiana-Kansas in the final. But as we have seen, you got to get past this Wake team first, and then Vandy's not going to be any slouch by any stretch.
Oh, Hoosiers, my gosh, a rebound basket.
Hoosiers going fast here, though. They are not wasting any time, and I still have not seen – oh, James Blackman is back on the court now. So it's been a bit of a sit there for James. We'll see how he responds. On the defensive end, Terry, we talked, you know, a little bit about James, but what I've noticed about this team is they seem more concentrated on getting out on men around the perimeter, but they also seem as though they are quite easy to get around on the perimeter and get into the middle. And maybe that's where I'm putting too much emphasis on Thomas Bryant and what he does once the penetration happens, because really he's the last line of defense. He cannot be, you know, wiping everything off the board when it happens. Your assessment after, you know, 3.5 games at this point of the perimeter defense in particular, because I thought it was atrocious last year.
Yeah, it was. But, for instance, the Creighton game, we made a conscious effort to come down and get on guys from the get-go. We weren't running or closing on threes. We didn't want them to have a three.
They were 3 of 18 on that night, by the way.
Exactly. And one thing that I heard Coach Green say in the postgame was that we wanted to not only guard the three, but to guard the corners to where they couldn't, because IU always runs to the corners and then comes out. Well, our guys went and immediately went to the three-point shooters to try to take it away. If you're going to stay with your guy to make him drive, and you know you want him to drive, it's much easier to still stay with him and funnel him in to Thomas Bryant or Max Biefeld or whoever's under there. If you're trying to close and you're running at somebody, it's much harder to get yourself in a position to be able to keep them from also penetrating on you. And there's your James Blackman sighting right there.
Yeah, nice steal on one end. Takes it the length of the floor. Does get fouled out around the three-point line.
And dunks it.
But dunks it hard. So, you know, hopefully, again, that's – I mean, to me, the entire thing with James is going to be – the energy, honestly, it's starting to look that way, because if he brings it on the defensive end, he's not going to be a shutdown guy. I mean, let's not get crazy. But, you know, just the awareness. He's too good. He's too talented. He's too much of a legacy, if you will, at this to not be any good guarding a man in defense. He's not.
Well, and as we're kind of watching here and talking as we're going, and anybody that is watching and listening to us, I don't know why, but we appreciate it very much. What I'm seeing is the depth is starting to take over. The last two or three shots for Wake Forest, short. The jumper's short. Even underneath tip-ins are not – the guys Wake's not got a bench. These guys have, you know, there's hardly been a substitution here. They're getting tired right now. We need, you know, the Hoosiers just need a lot of energy, both defensively, and when they get the ball, push it down their throats.
And they're certainly bringing it on the defensive end here, unable to rebound the ball, but did steal the ball before the man could go back up there on a missed shot. But, I mean, you're seeing it now a little bit on the defensive end, at least with the energy. And I asked Glass this on the air, and I don't think we've had you on to ask you the same question, but it strikes me that this team – And I don't know if it's a general Crean philosophy or not, but it strikes me, at least with this team, that they would rather force a turnover from the opposition than they would force a bad shot. And my first question is, you know, does that make sense? Do you see it that way? And the second question would be, is that necessarily a bad thing or is it a good thing? I don't know the answer to that, but strikes me a miss one way or another is a miss.
I mean, I dislike for anybody to play tough, you know, man-to-man, whether it's man, zone, I love a 1-3-1 trap. Whatever you can do to make the other people uncomfortable. If you make somebody uncomfortable, they will throw it away.
Yeah.
And if you've got length and quickness, which we have, and you're making people uncomfortable, they're going to make bad plays. And I think Coach Crean alluded to that the other day, is sometimes we try too hard to make the steal. If you're making somebody uncomfortable and you're making it hard for them to see a passing lane, hard for them to get a pass when they're trying to get the ball, hard to make a cut to the basket when you are keeping them from cutting where you want to go, all three different things there that I just alluded to defensively, that creates turnovers. And in a shot clock with only 30 seconds, if you're keeping that many people uncomfortable, they're going to make either, like you said, make a bad shot or make a bad pass, or perhaps you're going to coax them into a turnover, 3 seconds, travel. But right now, I see the same thing. I'm seeing that we are guarding 75% of the time and then looking for a steal and a blow-by to the other end for a spectacular play. And when you're down a few points and it's scramble time, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
But when it's like right now Indiana's up 9 at a timeout. I don't know if it's just under
It's the under 8 timeout, 72-63. The Hoosiers have kind of blown this open a bit.
We've started to kind of do what I thought we might do, and Wake Forest is getting tired. They need, they tried to take the air out of the ball early, and it only scored 11 points in the first 10 minutes. So we've kind of got things now. We're in a position now where we've really got to bring it defensively. No second shots down at the other end. Mitoglou still hasn't scored, I don't think, in the second half. Mm-hmm. And we've just been putting different people on him. And our bench has shrank because Colin Hartman's got 3.
Yeah,
and he's not been back.
He hasn't played in a while. He's got 4 now at this point. So
yeah.
He has not played much.
He did pick up
half.
His 4. So, like the way we went from a 63 all tie for 9 straight points to make it 72-63, a good omen there. And now we'll see what type of defense we're going to play. Are we going to get in a stance and put your nose in somebody's belly button, as they used to say back in the day, and not let him around you? Make them uncomfortable. They'll create their own turnovers.
Well, and as I said earlier, Bryant only 5 points so far. James Blackman is now up to 5 points. He had 0 until about 2 minutes ago. Yogi Ferrell did have 9 in the first half. He still has 9 now. Now, to his credit, he's got 7 rebounds and 5 assists. He's been leading on both ends of the floor tonight. But this has got to be a good thing, I would think, long term, and certainly in the next night or two, for this team to get punched in the mouth a little bit, and yet see guys like Bielfeld and Johnson and Williams and Zeisloff be the guys that keep you in and eventually here bump you up, because it's been Troy Williams and Robert Johnson really putting it in the basket here in the second half.
That's a good point. And the guys that have been around here longest are the ones that are picking up the slack. Proud of Robert Johnson after an awful game, really, against Creighton.
Yeah.
He's been locked into play tonight. It's not been James's night. Maybe this last 7 minutes will be James's 7 minutes. He'll get himself to the free throw line, get some buckets, and just make sure that the Hoosiers can get this win. So we'll see. You're right. This is what's good, is that we got smacked in the mouth a little bit like IU football did, I'm sure we're going to talk about. And these guys corrected, righted themselves, and took a 7-point deficit at one time to now a 9-point lead.
That's exactly right. 72-63, 7:09 left to go in Maui, and we will talk more about that and some IU football when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. And again, we're with you until 7:45 when Monday Night Football takes over Buffalo at the Patriots. So just a little while longer. In the meantime, the Hoosiers 72-65. They lead under 7 minutes to go in the game. The Hoosiers have turned around some of this here, certainly. Only two turnovers here in the second half for the Hoosiers, and they are closing the gap on the boards. I believe it was a 13-board deficit now. I think it's down to 6 or 7. So it has been a more energetic half, I would say, on both ends of the floor here for the Hoosiers, who offensively did not play badly at all in the first half. Not 9 turnovers maybe aren't your favorite number, but I wouldn't have called the first half bad offensively. They just weren't stopping anybody in the lane.
No, like I said, I think part of it was, you know, a Wake Forest team with some new parts plugged in that nobody really probably had much of a scouting report on. They weren't sure what they were going to do or how they were going to do it. And you said it very succinctly. They kind of punched us in the mouth a little bit. But we had several times, like I said, the lead at 5-6. Couldn't get it up over the hump and try to make things go our way a little bit more. And now we kind of have. We've really pushed the ball at them. We've made some nice defensive plays. The Hoosiers have, again, like you said, kind of they started rebounding the ball a little bit better. And, you know, now we've got a 7-point lead with 5:50 to go in the game. And it's not locked up by any means, but I feel a lot better as Wake Forest just scores. I shouldn't have said it now. 72-67. But, no, our effort's much better right now. And I think we just need to ramp it and take it, take another notch and keep moving the ball down the floor. And they're keeping us in a half court game right now. We got the 9-point lead, Dave, because we got some buckets in transition and some free throws. And right now we're not getting that.
No, you're starting to see a little bit more of the one-on-one stuff off the dribble. And again, you know, that's fine if it's not just kind of dribbling between your legs 5 times and then running at a guy, which is what that was. And it worked into a dish off a basket for Thomas Bryant, and there's Thomas Bryant's 3rd block of the game. So he heard me talking about blocks and became a defensive he became Patrick Ewing here in the second half. Speaking of punched in the mouth, as we watch the second half of this game, 74-67 Hoosiers with 5 minutes left. Punched in the mouth is exactly what Maryland did to the IU football Hoosiers on Saturday. And what was odd about that in particular, it all happened in the first 10 minutes. 21-3 was a score. But what was odd about that is the Hoosier defense, as bad as it's been, has actually been respectable against the run. They have committed to it. They've committed bodies to it. You know, you watch alignments and things like that. They're trying to stop the run for people and take their chances on third down. And that's where it really hasn't worked out. But against Maryland, it was 2 pretty relatively easy runs, one of about 75 yards early in that game. So it was almost all running game early in that game that took it to the Hoosiers. So it seems to me like they, I don't know if they walked in there defensively a little sleepy or whatever it was, but it was the opposite of what we've seen out of the defense, but, you know, as far as poor quality wise.
No, I'd have to agree with that. And I don't know if some of the runs, you know, they kind of had an offense where they'd throw the ball around a little bit. Their quarterback that was, I guess he had mono, didn't play. I'm not sure what they really expected, if they thought the second string quarterback would come out and do the same thing. But Ross, I mean, he just came out and gashed us twice.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of once in the first half and again in the second half. But, you know, after that, I have to, you know, when you get down 21-3 and end up winning the game 47-28, I'll take my hats off. Everybody made some plays. And I think we talked one of the earlier times I'd been in here that I lamented with the fact that our linebackers weren't doing anything. And then all of a sudden, a couple games, the linebackers are making all the tackles. Mm-hmm. And not our safeties and not our DBs were our leading tacklers. And that happened again Saturday. hats off to all those guys, you know, Simmons, Oliver. I mean, just all over the field. So, I think the defense was respectable all the way around. And then, of course, when we got to the third-string quarterback, it was done. Yeah. It was done at that point.
Yeah, the defense played great in the second half, gave up 7 points in the second half, although it was another long run and some shoddy, really, run fills. And that was what was surprising about it. Like I said, they've been much better about that sort of thing this year. It's been the passing game that's been a problem. But should be noted, Chase Dutra is apparently out for the year and has an injury. So they're getting even younger at the safety position. They had to put in yet another true freshman, their sixth true freshman defensive back that played. Leon Thornton moved over from receiver where he's seen a little bit of time. He started at corner, I believe, in this game. So that was a little surprising once again. That's like nine, if I counted them right, nine true freshmen at skill positions on offense and defense, six in particular in your defensive backfield. So that's, you know, part of the reason you're having such the issues on the defensive end. Let's credit the defense, I think, because they had a better matchup later on in the game. They certainly turned it around and kind of solidified things up front. But the offense, you know, after a couple drives in the beginning of the game, they really turned it on. And it might have been, as hard as this is to believe, I think, for some people, it might have been the best game you've seen out of Nate Sudfeld. He was on the money with just everything. And I don't mean, you know, he got it to guys. I mean, he got it in perfect spots. The little float to Luke Timian down the middle of the field was fantastic. The post route to Andre Booker. And again, the names I'm rattling off here.
Not been exactly catching passes all year.
They're not the big names or the big recruits. These are guys that have not got a lot of balls this year. So, I mean, they got a lot of guys involved. And Nate Sudfeld, I'm telling you, every single pass was just exactly on the money. I can't imagine him being much better than he was the other day.
No, he looked so sharp. And like you said, he made every pass. He made the touch passes. He made the long pass. He drilled a couple in between some people. I mean, he made every pass that he needed to make. Couple in particular, you know, were just, you know, things of beauty. Another thing that stood out to me, Simi Cobbs.
Yeah.
I mean, not only did he catch everything, but the yards after the catch, as he made some nice moves, literally two or three different times.
Nine catches, 192 yards.
Yeah.
And you're right, playmaking plays. So yes. Once he got it, he was making plays. And that's something you really haven't seen much out of Simi, but it's something this offense could really use.
Oh, yeah.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. We will be back with you after the top of the hour. So don't go anywhere. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. There have been developments in Maui. And Wake Forest holds a 1-point lead with 13 seconds to go. Troy Williams has just missed the front end of his two shots off a drive, trying to get the 2-pointer there to take the lead. Instead, he has one more free throw here to tie the ball game, and it has been some really atrocious defense, and the rebounding going back to the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. But indicative of what we've seen the last couple of years out of Indiana basketball was that last defensive possession, as Robert Johnson vastly overshades and on purpose to the dribble sideways, thinking Thomas Bryant is going to be underneath him. Troy Williams makes the free throw to tie the ball game. Again, 13 seconds left, and we have a timeout on the floor. But Terry, I mean, Robert Johnson's overplaying the dribble to the right for the player on the wing beyond the 3-point line, knowing that he's got Thomas Bryant on this pick and roll situation in the middle of the lane, if you will, or at least close. It wasn't even in the lane. As the man drives, everything moves towards the basket. Thomas Bryant just started bailing out backwards out of the equation altogether and gave him a free lane. I mean, the big guy has to step up and take that away, doesn't he?
Well, you force a right-handed player to his weak hand, as Robert Johnson was doing perfectly, baiting him to drive into where Thomas Bryant had the man cut off. And Max Bielefeldt was in perfect position in what you call helping in the hole, for as Bryant left his man, Bielefeldt's there.
Because we've been running that defense a lot today. I mean, a lot. Overplay to the dominant hand.
And all you do, if you're Thomas Bryant, is you immediately go cut the guy off and go, shoot over me. You're 6'3", and I'm 6'10". Go ahead. Instead, he turned, dun-dun, played Matador defense, dun-dun-dun, and the guy drove right in and laid it in.
He backed up into the lane, like into the center of the floor, which left all kinds of room to run. And it just, oh, I mean, just atrocious.
All you do is just run with him, and as soon as he goes in the air, you go in the air with him, and you don't foul him. The other thing you can do in the Bob Knight school, you force him to the baseline, and you put your foot on the baseline. He can't go around you.
Yeah.
I mean, we did. He did neither. Everybody else on IU did a fine job. Hey, Dave, he's a freshman.
Yeah.
You can imagine that, right? How that's going to be pointed out to him in the film room tonight, tomorrow, whenever they choose to do it. That's going to
Wake ball. It is a basket with 3.2, and we have an IU timeout. So that's a Wake lead 80-78. Again, 3.2. Left on the clock, and it's yet another drive to the basket, and that's what it's been, all night for the Hoosier defense. And offensively, it hasn't been phenomenal in the second half, but this game, one way or another, is going to be told about the Hoosier defense against a very mediocre offense here for Wake. I mean, they're missing guys.
They set the pick on Bryant and made Bryant pick up the dribble. I mean, they said, this guy's not going to stop us, kids. And they made him be in the play.
And sadly,
he didn't do a good.
Sadly, that right there is the look that I've seen too much with Thomas Bryant's defense this year. And that's why I made the comments that I made earlier and I don't know if he's trying to play the pick and roll too far out. I mean, you may be able to help me with this here, but he's consistently trying to run behind guys going to the basket for a layup and trying to block a shot from behind, and it's out of position.
That's not what he needs to do with his length and athleticism, is to immediately jump out and show himself at the screen and be able to go backwards and make them shoot a 15-footer and still be able to guard two people. That's what he's supposed to be doing, not turning sideways and running along somebody thinking, in high school I could block this shot.
Right.
Because he's not going to do it in college.
Well, and again, to his credit, I suppose, he is that true freshman. I don't know how much he had to deal with this in high school or not. He was at Huntington Prep, so certainly he played against some talent down there. But so far this year, and it's early, it has not been Thomas Bryant as the rock in the middle who's changing every shot and making a huge difference on the defensive end. And unfortunately, we still aren't seeing it on the perimeter. We aren't seeing any kind of real. Mindset out there on the perimeter to try to shut anybody down. It's been more gambling than anything else, and tonight it hasn't even been gambling because it's really been taking a lot of one-on-one and just beating.
Well, I mean, the last couple of plays down the floor, it's been nothing more than a layup, and that's when you really have to get tough and play into somebody's body, and you don't let him get it. It's just like you're not getting that layup.
And Colin Hartman throws it into traffic, and that will be the ball game. Wake Forest will win 80-78, so the Hoosiers will not play Vanderbilt, and so you don't have to worry about any of that Kansas talk either.
Nope.
That's what you get, I suppose, when you go out to Maui and you jerk around with somebody and don't pay attention to little things. And actually, it does appear though we had a foul, so 1 second still on the clock and some Wake free throws upcoming, but that just about does it. And, here we are, Terry. It's early in the season, but this is not a very good-looking loss to have on your list when Wake is missing their best player. Certainly not their best inside player, but their best player, and has a couple other guys that are missing time also. So this is a shorthanded Wake team that you had a 9-point lead on, and absolutely let them back into the game with their toughness and your lack of toughness.
No, it's the only way to look at it. The Hoosiers had a 9-point lead with 5 minutes to go and literally had their foot on Wake's throat and backed up. And that's pretty much apropos, as Thomas Bryant backs up and allows two layups late that ended up costing Indiana the game.
Let's talk about that play in particular, because that's not the first time I've seen that. I mean, it's what led me to talk about Bryant's defense the way I did. Does it make sense to play that much against a dominant man's hand and have that determine how you're going to play it out there? Are they asking Thomas Bryant to do too much that far from the basket if he's got to be out 20 feet and using his footwork to keep a guard in front of him as part of the defensive strategy? I mean, if Robert Johnson's playing that far off of him as he was to the side, he's not stopping him himself. He's waiting on Thomas Bryant to do the stopping. He's doing the guiding, if you will, a different direction. That to me seems like a hard ask for the 6'10 kid.
Well, if I've seen him play the high pick and roll better in all five of our games, two exhibition and three before that, than they did today. Now, this Wake Forest has got more athletes, obviously a better the best basketball team we've played this year, but that's not the way you play it. That's not the way I've watched them do it, and you can bet we will see it done differently tomorrow night when they play and do it again. Like I said, that's just not thinking, freshman mistake. And I know that's just without being radio, we have no chalkboards, and I don't have a dry erase board that I can diagram this for you and kind of tell you what I think we should do. But I guarantee you that's not the way Indiana wants to defend the pick and roll. And the crucial one was the time before when they got the lead. And that wasn't a pick and roll. That was Robert Johnson doing what you always teach a guy to do. He's forcing him to his weak hand.
Well, it was a pick out on the 3-point line. I mean, there was the screen being out there. That's why Thomas Bryant was even in the vicinity. But obviously, there was never a pass to him because he had a wide open lane.
Well, he backed up that time to where he was in the position he was supposed to be in, and then turned sideways and let the guy drive in. That's what I don't know. He disengaged. On that play, he disengaged from defensive help, and that was not the right thing to do. And in my mind, that's the shot that cost us the ball game, not the other one. Mm-hmm. That was the one that cost us the ball game, because if he plays the defense and stays engaged in picking up and helping, two things can happen. That guy's going to go up, and he's going to get his shot blocked. He could get fouled, yes. And the other thing is he forces a double team. Mm-hmm. And makes him reverse the ball back out, and then you start and you see what happens. So again, it's freshman mistakes. It's correctable, and if it's not, I mean, then our defense will never get any better, because the big guy that we have to defend the high pick and roll that is the staple of college and pro basketball right now, if he can't do a better job than that, we're going to struggle.
333-2665 is our phone number. Got to take a quick break. Hoosiers go down in Maui. You heard it right. Wake Forest wins 82-78, and the loss the Hoosiers could not take out in Maui. The next game, maybe, and the game after that, maybe, but not this one against Wake Forest, undermanned as they were. We'll talk more about the game and their performance in the last 10 minutes of the game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Just about half hour before we turn you over to Monday Night Football with the Buffalo Bills at New England. 7:45 is when pregame takes over there, with kickoff right around 8:30. But instead of talking about the tremendous Colts comeback yesterday to keep pace with the Houston Texans in the AFC South, a heck of a road win for the Colts, we have to talk now about the Hoosiers, who were up, what did you say the score was? 72-63 we
yes.
had. And the final is Wake Forest 82, Indiana 78. So down the stretch, not able to get anything done. And I'm counting here. And at the end of the day, we have 24 combined points from Thomas Bryant, Yogi Ferrell, and James Blackman Jr. And that's not going to get it done.
No,
they got out rebounded by 13. There's going to be games this year where they're going to get, you know, they're going to go up against a team with a better inside game. We saw it against Austin Peay, and we certainly saw it tonight as they just got dominated up front. But that's a really bad job by your best players. I'll give it a little bit to Yogi here with 7 rebounds and 5 assists, but and 8 rebounds for Thomas Bryant. It's just not nearly good enough. And I still don't know, looking back at these, you know, the last couple of games and some of the plays late in this game, asking Thomas Bryant to be the guy that stops guards 15 to 20 feet away from the basket. Look, if you are Yannick Noah or Joakim Noah, not Yannick, he played tennis, then maybe, but we're talking about, you know, a true freshman here.
You don't have to stop him. You just have to redirect him. And that's what he's supposed to be doing.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it should be. Somebody as athletic as him, heck yeah, it should be fair. Not, you know, he's going to make mistakes. I've already watched him defend it better in other games. Now, granted, yeah. Wake Forest is, you know, now it's a little step up. I don't care how bad people think they're going to be in the ACC, to step up from what we've been playing.
And they're probably better than Creighton, but still.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. But still, it's something that'll be corrected. It's just disappointing in a game that we, like you said earlier, we got punched in the mouth, we got up, dusted ourselves off, got a 9-point lead with five or so to go, and then let them punch us in the mouth again, and this time we just laid down. And that's what's disappointing, to get outscored 18-6 in the last 5 minutes, and most of those were layups.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those were layups, and it's just it's very, very disappointing. That's just a game that everybody figured we would win. That's what's the disappointing part. And you take control, you got it where you want it. You actually had James Blackman wake up, and he didn't do anything else the rest of the game. Yogi didn't score in the whole second half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a loss of words at this point.
I don't blame you. They go down to Wake Forest, and they will play they're playing St. John's tomorrow at 2:00 in the afternoon. So your evening is free on Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to do something else. 17 assists, 14 turnovers, 6 blocks, 9 steals for the Hoosiers. You know, those are generally numbers you're going to be really happy with at the end of the day. Giving up 51% shooting, and really, Wake hit some threes in the first half, but the ease with which they got to the basket and dominated the lane all game long. Hoosiers played big for a while, and late in the game, you know, they started to go with some smaller lineups, I think trying to change things, and it certainly didn't work. But all game long, it was way too easy to get inside.
Yeah, no, it was. And a lot of it was, and then if they did miss a shot, you know, a guy that's played at Michigan for 4 years, BFL didn't block anybody out. Troy Williams didn't block anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got a rebound. You know Bryant's going to get tossed around a little bit as he's feeling his way through playing NCAA basketball. So those things are going to happen. How does Yogi Ferrell not score in the second half? We didn't run.
Yeah, he had 2 points, but you're right. I mean, it's got to be better than that.
We did not. Wake Forest slowed it. They scored and immediately retreated and didn't allow us to get into a fast break basketball in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They took us out of what we wanted to do. And then when we built our 9-point lead, was built on them missing a few shots because they had tired legs, and we talked about it, and now we get out on the floor. Mm-hmm. We didn't get out on the floor after that. And for the better part of – really the better part of the second half, the first part of the first 10 minutes of the second half, we didn't really get out then. We just kind of – we got the lead back. We got it back to being tied, and then we just toe-to-toe with them.
Right.
And then, you know, Indiana has to be a team – that forces the speed, forces the style, as we did early. And it backfired on us towards the end of the half to result in a 5-point deficit because they did. Some people hit some shots that I know Indiana didn't think that those guys were going to hit the shots. That's going to happen. But that's my 5 minutes to go, 9-point lead and a timeout. Throat. Heel clearly on throat, ready to end this ball game and win by 15 and feel good, and you give up 18 points in 5 minutes. That looked like the Hoosier football defense right there.
333-2665 is our phone number. A couple factors, and then I'll ask you a question about them. First one, you mentioned that time frame early on, well, about middle of the second half, where it was clear that Wake was kind of teetering a bit. They had taken a couple right hooks there, and their legs were going out from under them. The Hoosier defense made a couple plays and then made buckets on the other end. It was a 9-point lead. The beginning of the half, when they were down 5, they immediately turned that around, and I think it was a 9-2 run, and they end up with a 3 or 4 point lead at that point. So two critical times, the Hoosiers were able to kind of put their foot on the gas a little bit on both ends of the floor and get the lead back or extend some sort of lead. The other factor I look at is, again, this is a team that does not have a lot of size inside, does not have a lot of depth. I mean, Morgan and Ananobi barely played tonight, and I think that's not indicative of the opponent, that's indicative of them. Is this a mental loss, or is this a physical matchup loss, the way you see it? I stumped him, Rob.
It's a mental loss because
more than Bill Walton did.
What you know, and that's That's hard to do right
Bill
there.
Bill enjoying some Bill, herbal Bill, remedies out there in Hawaii.
Bill likes him some Bill. That in a team that, you can't call these guys young. We've got a lot of veterans out there, including one that's, been part of a pretty good couple pretty good teams at Michigan. That's where when you do get somebody and get them backpedaling, you just have to keep punching and punching, and you run them till they're done. It's killer mentality. It may not be politically correct, and I could give a crap about that. But no, that's it.
I think we know what you mean.
I think this was more mental. We have to have an idea if when we get you on the ropes, you're done. We're Indiana. We're going to run you off the floor. And we tended to let up and kind of like wait, kind of shake the cobwebs out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was that cartoon where, blah, 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 yep. where he shakes the cobwebs out? That's pretty good.
That's very good.
We let him do it and got themselves back in the ballgame. And then we missed a couple of easy shots late in the game, when they cut it to 7 and we had a possession. A couple of shots missed. They go down. It's very disappointing, and I put it mental. I think Indiana will come out and play very, very aggressively tomorrow night. I mean, tomorrow afternoon, St. John's is not any good. I'm not so sure it won't be the same score that Vanderbilt put on them today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just disappointing that, and I will answer your question, it's mental. We had a chance to put it away, and we didn't do it.
333-2665 is the phone number. I mean, that's all I can rely on at this point. You had guys that contributed maybe more than you would expect on a regular basis in certain areas. I mean, Max Bielfeld, 11 points. That'd be great every night. You'd like more than 11 out of Yogi, I think. But I go to looking at this box score, and I can't get over 1 of 8. And 5 points from James Blackman. And again, it's not as though that got filled elsewhere in other ways. He had no personal fouls. Look, I mean, that's not a stat you want to see a lot of anyways, but at the very least, you're sticking your nose in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
3 defensive rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers, and 1 steal.
He had as bad a game today as Robert Johnson had the other day against
But
Craig.
Here's the problem. Robert Johnson isn't the prodigy.
Exactly.
And Robert Johnson, he'll give you more of a stat stuffer type of role generally anyways. Tonight it was 14 points. I thought Robert Johnson played pretty darn well, without nitpicking every possession he was in there for. James Blackman, this team shares the ball enough that it needs everybody to then hit some shots.
Mm-hmm.
Not 12, but you need to hit some shots. 1 of 8, 5 points, and then not much else out of it, and turning the ball over 4 times. Troy turned it over 5 times. He's our leading turnover guy. He has been all year long. He backed that up with 6 of 10 shooting, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 steals and 2 blocks. I know they're different types of players, but that's even more evident than why James Blackman has to be on there in the scoring sheet and cannot do an offer. He did offers last year too often, or at least lousy games like that, scoring the ball. This team needs him to be in that area because everybody else is not going to step up and score 25 points.
Yeah, we don't have a Calbert Chaney. We don't have a Steve Alford. We don't have a George McGinnis. We need three or four particular guys to be able to contribute each night. And it's not him going nuts and hitting 7 out of 8 threes and getting 30. It's him contributing with all kinds of, any different way. Tonight, you don't hit your shots, you better be driving and getting to the free throw line.
333-2665 is our phone number. We got to take another break. When we get back, I will ask the question, is Yogi Ferrell being too unselfish for this team right now? Again, we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. The Hoosiers lose in Maui to Wake Forest 82-78, outscored 19-6 down the stretch after taking a 9-point lead. Unable down the stretch really to cover much in the way of pick and roll, and unfortunately that's not new. I think a little different defensive strategy maybe in how to do it, taking away the dominant hand and asking Thomas Bryant to cover a lot of ground and make plays on guards. And I think that should be considered and looked at because, you know, after one of the first games of the year, they were talking about how Thomas wasn't doing that well. So if he's not doing that well, I would think you maybe don't expect him to have the phenomenal improvement on that so quickly to be running it all the time down the stretch of a game you're in a tight game on. But that's just me. But I asked the question beforehand, Terry. Yogi Ferrell, only 2 points in the second half, 4 of 11. In the past, we've talked about this team has a lot of options on offense. He needs to rely on some of these options. He needs to not be as selfish. He needs to make sure he's a distributor. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, no turnovers, 11 shots, 4 of 11 shooting, 0 for 3 on three-pointers, so his three-point streak is broken now. Is Yogi Ferrell at this stage with this team, given some of the inconsistencies he has around him, even though it's talent, it's inconsistent, is he being too unselfish at this point, and should he go ahead and take more of it on, or is that a panic move?
He probably here's what I'll answer it this way. I mentioned a few former IU stars earlier before the break. When it came down to a game that you needed a basket, you needed to do something to turn the tide, not just win a game, turn a tide, stop a run. Some of these guys would come up with usually most of them I mentioned were going to be baskets to stem a tide or take a lead, perhaps get a steal. This was a game, as they were coming back, that Yogi needed to step up. He's a senior, been the best player there for the last 3 years, or, you know, 2 years in this year. He needs to be more selfish when the game's on the line and go, hey, guys, I got this. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's trying to make a move and driving to the basket to get picked up by two guys and dish for an easy bucket, anything. Make a play to stem the tide and put an advantage back on your side. So, yes, he needs to do that, in my opinion.
333-2665 is the phone number. And, you know, again, a lot of what this team could become, still obviously in front of them, but all the talk in the offseason and in the early season has been because of the improvement of the inside game. Again, unless we're in an even match or outmatching somebody offensively out of four games here, or I guess you can even go back to the exhibitions, there has not been such a dramatic improvement inside. Now, it's been with a player that's a true inside player. We haven't had that guy in 2 years. So we haven't had, you know, that type of player in Thomas Bryant. But it's pretty clear to me that while talented, while energetic, while very, very promising, there's way too much being asked and expected of this kid with this team on the inside if they can't come up with anything else. And, you know, Max Bielfeld has been a great addition to this team. He's not showing himself to be the consistent inside strong guy. He's a very complimentary player himself. We're making way too much, I think, potential, I think, wise out of our inside game right now. It's, quite frankly, in the first couple of weeks, to me, been kind of mediocre.
Yeah, there's a lot of improvement need to be done. Thomas Bryant needs to understand that there's going to be a lot of guys that the Thomas guy today that aren't really that great of basketball players, but they're going to fight you and they're going to out-hustle you. And until you make them back down, they're going to keep coming at you. And if you show the first sign of fear or intimidation, they're going to come at you even harder to make sure you don't come back. So he's going to learn all this. I mean, this is disappointing. Ruins Glass's birthday. I know it does. And other than that, I know he's had a good birthday. But it's just, sun may come up tomorrow. Well, it will come up tomorrow. Whether we see it or not, you don't know. Indiana's going to win a lot of big games this year. They're going to, again, tick us off at times, just like tonight when we know good and well we're a better ball club than Wake Forest. But for whatever reason, we have a couple of guys that don't play up to potential. Wake Forest has a couple of guys that play the games of their lives, which happens when you put on the Indiana uniform, guys.
Well,
that's another thing. That
even the white ice one or whatever it was they were wearing today.
Love it. I can't, you know, I hope the red one looks just as nice. But you know what? That's another thing that you've got to get in your head, that whether we've not had the success in the past 10 years that we'd like, we had a long, long period of time when we did. And it still means something. I mean, it's still one of the top 5-7 programs in the country.
Well,
and it always will be, at least a lot to a lot of us in our minds. But there's a lot of teams out there, and they see that. And then Wake Forest is here, hurt all week. They don't have a chance.
They don't have a chance. We're already talking Richmond about
beat
Vanderbilt.
Them. Right. Richmond beat them the other night, and everybody's talking about Indiana playing Vanderbilt. What a game that's going to be with those three-point bombs from everywhere. And they said, crap with Indiana. Well, we're going to go in there and beat their butts.
Look, we can talk, too, about all the tactical stuff we want, but the bottom line with this loss comes down to the mentality that they went in and the toughness they did not go in with, on especially the defensive end. But down the stretch on the offensive end, you know, they're better than that offensively. Let's be fair. I mean, this is a little bit flipping the script on IU football here. We know their defense isn't very good. So the offense doesn't have a lot of mistakes that it can make and get out with a win. And this offense is going to be the same way. It's pretty clear that this is still a team mentally that you're not sure what you're getting. And after the last 2 years, it's certainly no shock to any IU basketball fan that they would go out there and lay an egg after 3 days in Maui or whatever the heck it's been out there. I mean, is it shocking that they spent 3-4 days? You know, I know they're practicing and doing some cultural things, but they're also hanging out on the beach and at the pool and things like that. Is anybody surprised that mentally they wouldn't be in their first game? I'm not. I mean, I'm disappointed to hell, but I'm not in any way shocked that this group, from what we've seen the last couple of years, wouldn't bring it from the get-go. And that's the unfortunate part, is you hoped that there would going to be a change there, and it doesn't look like it.
Well, I am shocked, because I saw too much and read too much and followed Twitter too much that they wanted to go out there and win a tournament. Talk is cheap,
yeah.
But you had the sense that they were ready to go out there and play. And early, it appeared they were, you know, they hit Wake in the mouth a little bit, got a little bit of lead. Wake, you know, they kept catching up, and we kept getting the lead back. And then, like I said, then the little foray that left us 5 points down. And it kind of felt like we'd righted ourselves. And as you said, they were wobbly. And then mentally, we didn't finish the job. And that's what good teams do. Good teams have to finish the job. And these guys have still got enough parts that either don't believe certain things until they actually see them, even though they've played now some of them 3 and one of them 4 years. It's disappointing, but I think they're going to be fine. They're probably going to be very hard to play against the next 2 nights or 2 days in Maui, and come back here, and we've got some more good games to go. And I'll tell you what, they better find a way to be tough in this little bandbox, and wait till I get to Cameron in a couple weeks.
Exactly right.
And, you know, because that's not going to be pleasant.
No.
At all. And if they're not ready there, they will be knocked out in the first 5 minutes, and there won't be any getting up.
That's your Hoosier basketball team, folks. Doesn't look like it's going to be a lot different.
They'll be fine.
They are more explosive on the offensive end, but defensively it looks about the same. I mean, it does.
So far. And I won't disagree.
That's where you are right now. You got the next 12 hours or so to complain about it, and I don't blame you in the least. In the grand scheme, it'll be talked about one of the many upsets in college basketball, of which there have
sure
been
will.
Many. I think of Western Illinois and beating Wisconsin in Madison, among others, but not the one the Hoosiers, that we wanted to see them lose if they were going to lose. There were two other better teams down the line that
yes.
could have beat them that made a little bit more sense. But instead, it's one of those same old efforts out of the Hoosiers, and we'll see what they come back with tomorrow. It doesn't help, but certainly it would kill them if they dog it against St. John's, because that team is really, really not good.
No.
All right, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Monday Night Football is coming up here shortly. Buffalo at New England, so don't go anywhere. And come back on Wednesday. Glass and Terry will tell you all about the Hoosiers' fifth place.
Yes.
Hopefully, at this point, placing in Maui on Wednesday, 6 o'clock. So we will talk to you down the road. You've been in the zone.